Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, where we meet the joys and challenges of our sensitivity with open minds and hearts to awaken our best highly sensitive selves. Welcome, friends. It's Tanya. And did you know that your home is affecting your success in life, your health, and your overall well-being? In our next two episodes, we'll be speaking with Julia Dellalba. Julia is a yoga teacher, architect, healer, and highly sensitive person based in Spain. She specializes in interior design for health and spiritual well-being. She helps people from all walks of life. She helps them to align their souls with their home and their workspaces so that they can feel more fulfilled, prosperous, and happy. And this work, now more than ever, is so important. As many of us find our work circumstances changing, our spaces are changing, everything is changing due to the pandemic. Over these episodes, we'll learn from Julia about how our homes are a true reflection of ourselves. Welcome, Julia, to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast. I'm so happy that you're here with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Can you start off by telling us just a little bit about yourself and how you discovered that you're highly sensitive?
Okay. I am an architect and a therapist specializing in interior design for health and spiritual well-being. And I discovered that I was a highly sensitive person through my friends. Because I started to notice that everybody who I was attracting into my life and also as a client were highly sensitive people, but they didn't know they were highly sensitive people. They didn't know that as a, you know, characteristic as such. And one of them once said, "Julia, I think I already know what's happening to me." And she sent me the link of highly sensitive person. I'm like, "Oh, wow, I am that too. Let me do the test." Like, "Oh, now I understand so many things." So that's how I discovered that I was a highly sensitive person. And it's a really good thing for me in relation to what I do as my profession.
And so speaking of that, will you share a little bit with us about your journey to what I find a very highly unique combination of healing along with architecture? I think that's probably something that a lot of people, we don't really associate those two things together. So if you can tell us some about that, about your journey to how you got there.
Yeah, sure. Everything started when I was in architectural school, because I always wonder how architecture affects health and well-being. And I noticed that many times when you jump into a space, sometimes you feel very good. And in some other spaces, you have the feeling that you just want to run out, but you cannot really tell why. And you know, from an aesthetic point of view, from a material point of view, like everything seems fine. You can even get into a nice cafe, nice hotel, or even the home or of a friend, and everything seems so beautiful or maybe even luxury, but you don't feel at ease there. You don't feel well, and you don't know why. And I always quest that, why that happens. And I often ask my teachers at architectural school, but they couldn't give me the answers that I was looking for. And then after working in big architectural practices, and in the end, I just, you know, realized that there are some certain elements that influence in that, such as the light, the geometry, and some other things that I observed. Because I was very curious to know more about that, but it was not enough. I wanted to know more, you know, the transcendental role of it and why you have that kind of experience. And then when I came to my master's degree, that quest came along more and more. And I was at the same time very interested into psychology and knowing about the self, knowing about me, who I was. And I remember I was living in a place with some other students, and one of there were one person taking care of us and was a psychologist, and I often spoke about her, about this. Yeah, I want to know how spaces affect health and well-being, and how they influence from a psychological perspective. And she was saying, yes, it influences a lot. And like, yes, but tell me how and why. And she couldn't tell me. I changed work, and I ended up working in an architectural practice that was focused on designing shopping malls. So I was very focused into retail. And then and at that time, I realized that was not what I wanted to do. I found it very superficial, very commercial, and like, this is not what I'm seeking. I need something beyond. And I had that deep quest within me to go to India, leave everything and just get a backpack and go to India for 6 months alone, ready to live the adventure in order to dedicate fully to my interior architecture and get more about me within. Because at the time I had been experiencing some spiritual experiences and I didn't know what to do with that. And anyway, to make the story short, it happened. I gave permission to myself to do that. And when I arrived to India, I jumped into the Kriya Yoga path, the spiritual path. And someone mentioned to me about Vastu. But right before that, in that same trip, I realized in this quest of trying to know more about myself that I had natural skills of a healer. And my roommate in the ashram where I was a psychologist. And she said to me, you know, Julia, you are a therapist. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm an architect. That's my passion. Architect and interior design and create beautiful spaces. And that's what I studied. And that's my passion. Like, yeah, but you know, those skills are just natural in you. And like, oh my God, that's true. So what am I now? I'm an architect or I'm a healer. What am I? And then like a few weeks later, someone mentioned about Vastu Sastra, the Vedic science of architecture. And I was like, oh, yes, this is it. This is, it was like love at first sight. I experienced like an immediate soul recognition between me and that subject. And I instantly knew that it was a subject that I wanted to master and that my soul purpose, my life purpose, my profession was linked to that. And through that, I could more or less know more those quests that I had previously for so many years. And that's how I came to it. And it was like the perfect bridge to unite my skills as a healer, as a therapist, with my background and my passion in architecture and interior design. And along with the yoga practice, it was very helpful for me to approach Vastu from a yogic perspective, because in the end, Vastu and yoga are interconnected. Vastu Sastra, Yoga, Ayurveda, and Jyotish Astrology, there are the four main Vedic sciences, and the four of them complement each other and they are interconnected.
So can you explain to us what exactly the practice of Vastu Sastra is, how it works, and just a little bit more about it, because I'm sure probably most of us haven't really heard of it before and don't really know what it is and how it works.
Yeah. Vastu is the ancient architectural system of India. It's super old, thousands of years old, and it deals with architecture, urban planning, and interior design. And its goal is to design, create, and build spaces that are in harmony with the environment, with the natural environment. And the ultimate goal is to create spaces that are not just in alignment with the natural environment, but aligned with yourself. So its ultimate goal is to help you be more aligned with your soul. Especially it was born to design and create temples. So it's a way of creating sacred spaces and sacred architecture in order to support the alignment of the yogi. I often explain it as the yoga of architecture, because if the purpose of yoga is to align body, mind, and soul through the practice of pranayama, the purpose of Vastu is to align the cosmic space with the earth space through the architectural space to support the alignment of the yogi.
It's so beautiful and fascinating to me. But for me personally, yoga is endlessly fascinating. So the depths to which it goes, they're just amazing. And they do really cover every aspect of life in the universe, really.
Yeah. Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit why, and also how, expanding on what you just said, why and how our living spaces are important to our mental health specifically, especially as highly sensitive people?
Well, there are many aspects in that. The most typical aspect that I can give as an example, it's, for example, clutter, a clutter space with so many objects, so many things around. It can easily bring you into anxiety because it reminds you of the so many things that you have to do and you haven't done yet. And it also is it's a disturbing thing for the senses. And on a mental process, it disturbs you to be more focused. So if you really want to be more focused, more concentrated, you better be as minimalistic as possible. So if you are in a cluttered space, it will disturb, and especially if you are a highly sensitive person. And there are some other aspects that can also affect on your mental health, such as, for example, living on skyscrapers. If you live in a super high, like above the 12th floor, like floor 25th, floor 28th, you are living in a super high level, and you are completely disconnected from the earth energy. So if you live in a super height for a permanent time, especially if you are a highly sensitive person, you are likely to suffer anxiety because you kind of lose balance. You don't have that stability that energetically the earth provides you. And another example that it can affect mental health is living in a basement of a building with no natural light. That can also affect your mental health and your anxiety. And there are just three very brief examples of how drastically and space can affect your mental health. But there are many other aspects that can also influence that in that aspect. But it's something that it cannot be seen, but it can affect you anyway. And in this case, I can give an example, something that I suffered in myself when I was doing my master degree in Madrid. It was the first time for me to get an apartment just for myself, and I was super excited. Oh, I'm going to rent an apartment just for me. I'm going to have my own bathroom. And I was so happy. I rented a super nice apartment in a super central area of Madrid in one of the best neighborhoods. I was very happy, and all the furniture was new. I made everything nice, decoration to make my cozy space. And I remember my time living there as the worst stage of my life.
Really?
I started to suffer anxiety and a lot. I mean, of course, I was going through a lot of stress in that moment with my master's degree, trying to build a company. I was taking French classes, and I was in some other things. So I was, dealing with so many things in my life. But when my master's degree was over, when the company was already running, and I got rid of that weight that I was having on my shoulders. I remember I took a week off and I went on holiday, and I just felt so sad and so depressed that I truly understood why people commit suicide. And I shared that with my sister, and my sister shared that with a friend of her that is a highly sensitive woman and very intuitive. And she had visited my apartment in Madrid, and she said to my sister, "Tell Julia that things won't improve in her life until she gets rid of her apartment." And I
Really?
was like, "What? What?" "What are you talking about?" "Like, yes, Julia, that apartment is not suiting you." "What do you mean? I love my apartment. It's very centrical, it's very nice, it's very practical, it has all the ticks." But that's what I did, Julia, but that's not for you. "But why? Why?" But I mean, at the time, I didn't know about Vastu, and I was in my quest of how architecture affects health and well-being, and I hadn't discovered yet. But the fact of experience that in my life was like a very shocking, and I didn't understand why. And this lady had given me very good advices before in my life. So like, okay, I have nothing to lose. I'm gonna change, and I'm gonna leave it and move somewhere else. And as soon as I moved to a different place, I started to see light, anxiety, stress, depression, sadness. It just diluted, and I started to be me again. So of course there was something wrong with that apartment that at the time I didn't know what it was until I studied Vastu. And then one day I analyzed it because someone asked me, I'm like, "Oh yeah, now I understand. It had this, and that." But objectively, there was nothing wrong with it. Objectively, subjectively, I can tell that it really affected me.
Wow, there's so many questions that I want to ask you about that. But I want to stick to letting people know about you, but I'm just really curious. So you said that later on you were able to be more objective about it once you were out of that space. So based on your personal story, someone who's listening to this, who may be feeling some of the same types of feelings that you were feeling at that time in your life when you were, in graduate school and doing all of these things, and you were suffering from some depression, and then you moved out of that space on the advice of your friend or your friend's friend. And once you were out, you could see all of those things. How can someone who's listening now, who may be feeling those similar type things, distinguish between if it's the space they're living in, or if it's something else in their life, or is that just something that you help people with to make those kinds of determinations?
Well, something that I can say right now, seeing what happened from a distance, is just analyze that my life radically changed as soon as I moved into that space, into that apartment. I was so excited with my new apartment, starting my master's degree, was happy, everything was fine in my life. But as soon as I moved there, I went through so many challenges. And I am a very stable person, a cheerful person, and what I went through in that stage was truly not me. So if someone, moves to a place where suddenly it's making them feel like it's not their, you know, it's not their natural state of being, mm-hmm. or their life drastically changed and so many things start to go wrong, then it's worth considering whether that space is affecting them.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. So you, in your work, you use the yoga lineages of Raja Yoga and Kriya Yoga in your work with Vastu. Mm-hmm. And you use these as ways to help your students to develop their intuition and harmonize their homes for spiritual growth. So can you briefly explain, and this may be based on what we were just talking about as well, can you just explain to us how these yoga teachings specifically work within the work that you do? And also, how is it different from the yoga that we typically think of in the West?
Well, in the West, for someone who is not very into yoga, they see yoga and meditation as two different and separate things. They think that yoga, oh, it is just a practice for your body and to feel more peaceful, and meditation is something else. But when you are really into what yoga is, what yoga means, you realize that yoga is a lifestyle. And there is not really a division between your hour of yoga class, whether it's hatha yoga or whatever, or your meditation. It's just a lifestyle. It's everything together, right? It's a completely different way of approaching life and living life. So how I bring that into my practice is just to be more conscious, of the space you are living in, whether it's your physical space, your home, or is your inner space, your body. I mean, many times when people ask me about what I do and they don't really know what Vastu is and what exactly I do, I always use the metaphor to explain it as you are a soul living in a temple that you call body that lives in another temple that you call home. And my role is to balance and harmonize both temples energetically in order to feel more happiness, be more at ease, and be more inspired and close to the person's soul. Because Vastu, yes, it's about buildings, it's about architecture, but the body or physical body is the most sophisticated piece of architecture that has been given by God to us. So it is our primary temple. And our home, the place we're living in, is just an extension of that temple.
You work with something, or you talk about something called geobiology. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what geobiology is and why it's important in the work that you do?
Well, geobiology is actually within Vastu. Is part of Vastu. And geobiology is just a combination of earth sciences along with biology and its relationship with living beings. And it contains aspects such as the geomagnetic grids of the earth, it could be a Harman grid or Curie grid, which are energetic lines that cover the whole earth. And there are also some other lines, invisible lines that nature uses, such as, for example, the birds, when they go from one place to another, they get orientated through that. And also geophysical alterations such as water springs or faults, that's also part of geobiology, and that has an effect and an impact on spaces, on people. And also the land history, like energetic prints of previous owners, things that have happened there. There's this sense energetically there that especially many highly sensitive people can feel. I mean, sometimes if you are, for example, looking for a new apartment and you jump in and you don't know why, you feel sad maybe the previous owner had depression, and that energetic print was left there. And as I said before, your biology is part of us too, and it can really have an impact on people's health and well-being. I remember once I was in Barcelona and I met an interior designer that was into UIology, and I explained what I was doing, and he told me, you know, how I started into this is I was visiting a friend's home, and they had a kid that was always making tantrums at night because he used to go to sleep, and then he woke up in the middle of the night crying. He didn't want to sleep in that bed, and he used to go to the parents' bed to sleep, and they were forcing him, no, go to your bed, sleep. No, I don't want to sleep in my bed. And once he went there, he wondered, I bet there is something wrong with that. And through dosing, he detected that there was a water spring just below the child's bed. And that was what was disturbing his sleep. And that's why he didn't want to sleep in that bed, because he was being disturbed. Especially children are very sensitive to those things. And those are aspects that UBiology covers.
And those are things that, you know, we just, like you said, we just don't think about them in the West. You know, I think as highly sensitive people, we probably have a deeper intuition when it comes to things like that. You know, when my husband and I, when we were looking for a place to live, when we were going to move, you know, we looked at 25 houses within a span of 3 or 4 days. And only the house we're in now, when I walked in, I said, okay, in my mind, because, you know, he's very analytical, so he wouldn't respond to my intuition in the same way. But, you know, I walked into the house we're in now thinking, okay, this is the one. This is where I see us living, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that we don't many times listen to that type of intuition. We dismiss it for other reasons that aren't as valid.
Exactly. And that's what happened to me when I jumped into that apartment. Yes. That made my life miserable. Because at the time, I remember perfectly that it was September, and there were a lot of demand, people looking for apartments, especially students. And you know, this feeling when you are visiting a lot of places, and when you arrive, the owner just say, oh, the previous person just took it. And you're like, no.
There's a lot of pressure to choose something quickly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I had a lot of pressure. And I remember one night I had a nightmare that I was ended up sharing my new apartment with the prime minister of Spain at the time. And the second, I was like, no, no, today I'm going to find my place, whatever it may be. So when I jumped into that apartment, it filled all the ticks, all the requirements that I had.
On paper, it was perfect, right?
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I said, yes, I don't want anybody to take that out, because I was just desperate. So I didn't have the chance to just feel intuitively that mm-hmm. if that place was right or not. I just said a desperate immediate yes, because I was so fed up. And that happens a lot.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you know, not everyone has the means, the money, the opportunity to necessarily choose where they want to live. And then maybe we could talk about that for a minute, just, you know, for somebody who might be listening, who says, I can't move, I can't afford to move. You know, I might be experiencing some of these things that Julie is describing, but I can't move and I don't know what to do. Maybe what's something that you would say to that person listening?
Well, If you experience that there is something wrong and you cannot afford to move, the first thing is just ask a professional who you trust and who you feel could help you and give you just a feedback or a second opinion, and to confirm whether your feeling is right or not, and that can help, because there are many things that can be done. I do vastu energy corrections to some of the spaces that are, as I call, like ill. I mean, my healing practice is not just for people, but also for spaces. So that's part of my work. That's part of what I do. Of course, leaving the space and moving somewhere else is one option, but there are also other options that can be taken into consideration.
I think that's a really important point, and something that is important to mention. So, you know, when I first heard about your work, one of the first things that came to my mind was feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain to us a little bit about the differences and similarities between vastu and feng shui?
Yeah, sure. Many people ask me that question, especially when I mention vastu. Oh, is it like feng shui? Uh-huh. And vastu is much older than feng shui or feng shui. It's thousands of years old. The first written text about vastu comes in the Rig Veda. And feng shui came later on as a means to find a good spot for the emperor's burial. That was its main
burial space.
Yes, for the burial space, mm-hmm, for the emperors. That was its main purpose. The main purpose of vastu was to design, create, and build temples. And, you know, sacred spaces. And over the time, especially with the spread of Buddhism, so many Buddhist monks came out of India and spread through Asia to expand the teachings of Buddhism. And they gathered with them the knowledge of vastu. And when they arrived to China, the knowledge of vastu and feng shui, or maybe that was not called feng shui at the time, but you know, they got into touch, and it evolves with Chinese culture over the centuries and over the years into what is called today as feng shui. So feng shui is like a ramification of vastu that got into Chinese culture. But nowadays there are two completely different systems. I mean, they have many things in common, many of the some things, or the basic or the core knowledge is in common, but they have many different methodologies. I mean, they have similarities, but the methodology is completely different. So that's the main thing.
Join us next week when we conclude our conversation with Julia, where she shares more insights into how the space of our homes and our businesses contribute to all aspects of our lives, both in health or sickness and well-being and prosperity. You'll find links to Julia's work and how to contact her in the show notes. If you enjoy the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, please go to iTunes or wherever you listen to give a quick review and share it with friends. It only takes a couple of minutes, and it'll be so deeply appreciated. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of the good stuff, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for spending time with me here on the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast. New episodes are released Wednesdays, and please feel free to reach out with any questions or comments. And never forget, we were given this highly sensitive life because we're strong enough to live it.